and
Cowboy.
Is this?
What are we on?
There we go.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I've got two cards here that are not marked for a particular item, but I'm assuming they're for public forum, Mr. Diaz and Mr. Bishop. Well, and we have your card, too. Yours is marked.
Right. Is that true? Are these public forum?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Okay.
David Nelson, and then Mr. Diaz and Mr. Bishop, in that order.
Thank you. Nice to see all you people in good spirits here. I came today in regards to this order to for Dynegy to begin monitoring at the Morro Bay site. Now, it's kind of astounding to me that I read the attached reporting, the monitor choices that they have to make, and these monitoring reports go back to 2006 at least. They're dated 1/1/7 through 12/8, and the plant's been running at almost nothing up to this point. Now this letter is ordering them to start it by November of this year. Now this is at the end of the period that the monitoring suggestions were made, and they're all estimated cost and everything for that period. So this period's almost over that they actually requested. And I haven't been before in the here for a bit, but I have been going to all the Ocean Protection Council workshops, and I've gone to the state workshops on the scoping documents and things like that. So I've been staying up on Once Through Cooling. As you know, I've been advocating getting rid of this for a long time. Now, what this is doing is falling way short of where it should. We're talking that these plants, Moss Landing and Morro Bay, is doing huge damage to our environment, and we know it. And we're going to have a monitor gobies that within 2 or 3 years, hopefully, Once Through Cooling is going to be outlawed at all these power plants anyway. So I'm looking, you're looking at studies that are less than $300,000 or $400,000 for 2 years. At Moss Landing, just for an example, according to the grid reliability study that the State Board and the Ocean Protection Council put together, Moss Landing produced over 6.5 million megawatts of energy. All that is hooked to the Elkhorn Slough. They're sucking in water, they're making profit, and we're ordering them to do a $150,000 a year study between two plants. This is insane. You have to make it so that this isn't cost effective. I mean, this goes nowhere to stop Once Through Cooling. As a matter of fact, Dynegy has no contract this year to produce electricity. They just signed another contract with their partner down in Southern California to go another 3 years on producing energy. Now, this is going to stress Morro Bay even more than it has, because it hasn't been sucking in mass amounts of stuff. It's only been running about 5% or so in the last 3 years. My question is that this study was ready years ago. We talked about this when I went to a workshop at Moss Landing, and nobody's thought about it, saying, hey, you guys, start doing this now so that you could really compare Moss Landing to Morro Bay like it's been done in the past, which is another, you know, a scientific anomaly that we won't even talk about here. But, you know, it's just not pushing them hard enough to stop using Once Through Cooling doing this. You're allowing them for $150,000, and they just rebuilt the two generators at Morro Bay, so conceivably they could be running at 300 megawatts. And that's sucking a lot of water for no money. I mean, what incentive do they have to stop doing this? They have absolutely none.
Mr. Nelson, I see that we didn't
Sorry, I was looking for that.
And that was our fault. But we've had 3 minutes. What I'd like to do is just ask staff maybe to comment on
the order.
Well, the order. And then, but one thing I'd like to just comment on, I don't know that we're trying to make it not cost effective for them to do anything. Okay. I think we're trying to gather information.
Well,
so I mean, those are two different concepts.
Yeah, see, I think that's the problem, is that the state, at the state level, is calling for the end of once through cooling. At the state level, we're working on scoping documents to end once through cooling, and here we're encouraging once through cooling. It's just not connected is the problem. And, you know, not doing more if you're going to monitor, not doing even wider research is okay. Wrong is the point here, I think.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Briggs?
Yeah, the Gobi study that Mr. Nelson is referring to, I believe, is one that was proposed by a group of scientists led by Dr. Pete Raimondi from UC Santa Cruz, who we've employed before for monitoring consultation. And the idea was that, as Mr. Nelson points out, we've got a period of time here where the plant has been fairly consistently in an almost zero capacity status. It's just been used for peaking in the summer for the most part, I believe. So our proposal was to take advantage of this opportunity where the cooling water is not being used to get an updated baseline on gobies as sort of an indicator species, an important species. And basically what we put to Dynegy is if they're first of all, you know that they're a relatively new company in terms of ownership of the power plant. And so one of the things we said was we didn't know what their business plan was. If they're going to commit to be on a path of eliminating once through cooling, there wouldn't really be a necessity to do additional updating of the baseline as far as this monitoring program. However, if they can't commit to that or don't want to, then they need to proceed with this monitoring program. And so that's where we stand right now. We gave them a deadline, which is coming up here, and I think in about a month or something like that, to let us know what their decision is regarding that choice. And then if they proceed along lines that they seem to indicate they wanted to proceed, and we met with them here in this room not too long ago about that, then they will be giving us their proposal, which may tweak the monitoring proposal that Dr. Raimondi put together, and we'll go from there. And as you pointed out, Chairman Young, the purpose of monitoring is to gather needed data to assist the board down the road with permitting the power plant. It's not to punish the discharger or to artificially create a non-cost-effective situation. The state board has yet to adopt a once-through-cooling water policy, so we don't know exactly how that's going to turn out. And so it's not our purpose to circumvent that regulatory process by coming up with a monitoring program that sways the economics of the situation. So that's, in a nutshell, how we're proceeding with Dynegy.
Okay. Any board comments or questions? Okay. Thank you.
Yeah,
Dr. Hunter.
Mr. Nelson mentioned that there is monitoring that's going to start now, and that this is coming up at the end of the monitoring program that has been put in place. Does that mean that they will come up for review, or they have reports to submit? Do you know what he was referring to?
That didn't quite match up with the way I was looking at it. We had this proposal from Dr. Raimondi and other scientists, and so we're following up on that at this time. We anticipate we might have 2 years of monitoring, and chances are things are not going to change at the power plant in terms of its physical configuration prior to 2 years anyway, so that, I think that allows plenty of time for updating the baseline monitoring.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Daniel Diaz? Our last speaker is Ralph Bishop. If there's anyone else that wishes to address the board on any item not on the agenda, please fill out a speaker card and present it to Harvey Packard, who is walking along the side of our room here.
Ready to go?
Okay. Good afternoon.
My issue here is about, of course,
In your name, please.
My name is Daniel Diaz from the FOMO. They call me the Creek Dog. anyway, we have a hydro modification problem in the Pomo, and it's caused from debris. Can I show these on this thing?
Sure.
There you go. All of these. Yeah, okay, thank you. Okay, these pictures are going to reveal the truth as we work on.
Why don't you continue to tell us about what's in the pictures?
This is going to show you the farmlands admitting all this debris coming down to our town and plugging our bridges and causing lots and lots of silt to lay there in our bridge holes. This is some of the debris that we got in 2006 of the debris that came down and got us. And this is coming out of our backyards and knocking down our fences and what have you doing this. Okay, next one. And this is one of the gentlemen that he's passed away now, but he was helping us on this issue. And these logs come out of his backyard, which is right across the street. You're looking at the little white pickup. That's my property there. Those were going underneath me and tearing my landscape up, destroying my creek. It's made it 30 feet wide in my creek now. It used to be 10. Next. And then this is, of course, some of the other neighbors are also doing the same thing, picking up the debris. But, you know, there's a lot to this than more than meets the eye. The county has spent thousands and thousands of dollars to clear the silt out of our bridge for the last 6 years. And we continue to get more silt down because these particular farmers, not all the farmers, a lot of them are very nice, very good. There's our silt level that's been built up. They're removing this bridge as we speak right now in the Pomo. That's just right next to my home. This is the flooding time, 2004, 2006. We had no way for the water to flow, and therefore we all got flooded. And we're talking about half the town in the Pomo being flooded because of the debris, the silt level being built up, where the people are crossing the creeks with equipment and building their own roadways, and actually taking a silt out of the creek, pushing up and making roadways out of it, which is loosening it, and then it comes down and plugs us, as you see. Okay, next. Okay, this is the silt level in our bridges, the last silt level that the county took out. There's the county workers there working, and they had the CC&C boys in there to clean that stuff out by hand because the bridge hole was so small, made too small originally. And once those bridges get filled, the town of Napomo is in trouble. If we don't correct this problem upstream to stop this from happening, we'll get this even with the new bridges in our town. That's about it, I guess.
Mr. Diaz, have you presented this information to our staff?
I've talked to this lady here. I've talked to Mrs. Huckleby about these issues. I showed Rich Chandler a lot of the issues myself. He was with me, and we've seen a lot of this. So it's out there. My question is why isn't the members of the board knowing about any of this? This is what I don't understand.
Mr. Briggs? Any comments on what staff has done in terms of looking into this? If you know.
I don't know exactly what the status is, but I know we followed up with the previous photos that had the drip tape and plastic tubing, and found out that it isn't. Well, actually, we already knew at the time that was presented here because Corinne Huckabee had met with you previously. And I was following up, and Mr. Hayashi pointed out that he provides recycling, free recycling for that material in a couple of locations. As far as sediment and debris, of course, that's a problem with many of our watersheds, and I know this has been kind of a chronic problem here with some of the choking at the culverts and bridges, similar to the problem they have had historically at Twin Bridges and Choro Creek. And that's one of the reasons that it's important to try to minimize erosion and sedimentation upstream, which has been one of our primary focuses throughout our entire region. So these are problems that are commonly found throughout our region, unfortunately. Some places a lot worse than others.
Do we have a TMDL for sediment for that particular water body?
I don't think we do. Is that one that's even on the list?
Okay.
Is that Napomo Creek?
That's Haystack, Upper Haystack Creek and North Fork are the two main ones that are putting out all that sediment.
What county?
That's San Luis Obispo County, Napomo.
That's Chris Rose of our staff.
And so there, and I think then there's no TMDL scheduled to be?
No.
No. Huh. Well.
You know, it's one of those things where it might this might provide sufficient evidence for listing and then prioritizing, but that's not exactly a near-term solution. But I think it points out that we are on the right track when we're trying to do a better job with various sources, whether, I don't know if the primary source for sediment here is agriculture, but that's certainly one of our main areas for trying to make improvements with runoff from irrigated ag, okay, as well as grazing lands.
Okay.
Mr. Diaz, are you aware of any property owner upstream that may be contributing a lot?
I know of all of them. I have documented pictures of everyone. Every creek from downtown Napomo, from the riverbed, Santa Maria riverbed, all the way up to into Napomo, all the way to the foothills.
But in terms of who might be contributing?
Oh, yes. Yes. I won't say their names over this, but.
Right. Well, perhaps staff could take a look into whether there's anything specific that can be done. You know, it's one thing if it's a generalized discharge problem.
Right.
Like non-point source,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to something that may be specific.
Do something more directly
about it.
Right. And I don't know how much of that specific information you've given to Corinne or anybody, mm-hmm, else on our staff, but we can check on that.
Okay, and then you're welcome to call me at any time.
Mr. Diaz, have you given specific information to staff on who might be the sources?
Yes, I have, and Fish and Game.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to thank Mr. Hayashi for being the right man to clean up that area over there. I really appreciate that. That means a bunch to me. The chemicals still lay in that ground there because there is a lot of chemicals that was spilt over.
Perhaps, Mr. Briggs, you could just report back to the board with an EO report.
Okay.
Maybe next board meeting and let us know where we're at with this.
All righty.
Thank you.
Can I add a comment? I am aware of that this is the area or region that the tubing, irrigation tubing, is also a major problem. And I'm aware that through the Creek Dogs' efforts, they have successfully spoken with the county, and they're going to do a creek cleanup as part of the county's creek cleanup day. And I think part of the effort is to help to start some outreach to the landowners on the creek. So it's a very sensitive process to approach those landowners. But I think as part of a creek cleanup day countywide and some of the benefits that come with that, including the county makes its resources available, including hauling trash away and so forth. So there could be some good opportunities for dialogue to occur with some of the specific landowners and also give them some ideas about some assistance in dealing with some of the issues. So hopefully there's a process starting. And, yeah.
Yes.
How's that? Yeah, now I can hear myself.
All right. Mr. Bishop.
It's a pleasure to see you all again. We've had a lot of things happen since we were here last, and I want to thank you all so much for helping move this situation along in Napomo Creek, and especially Mr. Hayashi. I don't know how to thank him enough, because he's the kind of agriculturalist that we need in Napomo, and with men like him and the other people who go out of their way beyond the call of duty to clean up the creeks, this is what it's going to take for our little community to regain you know, a clean stature instead of being a, you know, a poster boy for, you know, creek pollution. I just, I really don't know how to thank you, Mr. Hashi. Now, this situation in the Pomo Creek all boils down to this, what is it, creek modification, stream modification business. And this is what we've been talking about since 2001. And the problem comes from everywhere. There were problems in the urban area of Napomo in 2001, and Dan Diaz and I have wrangled the citizens into a creek situation today that's almost spotless with nothing but blow-in trash. It's been said that we're anti-ag, and which is the farthest thing from the truth. We're site-specific. We let the cards fall where they may, and we're simply interested in the well-being of the community and in nature itself. And in that instance, we've also landed on ecological groups who have made mistakes in creek restoration in Napomo. So we are equal opportunity people. To be real frank, we don't care who puts what in the creek. If it's going to mess up the creek, we're going to speak out. So now, another thing I want to bring up is the Conoco oil spill in Napomo, just below the Dana Adobe. This is a situation that occurred in the past. They discovered it in 2003. I've read all the information on it, and I see I'm on the orange light, so I'm going to say the bottom line for the oil spill is it is only 2 feet below the active creek channel of Napomo Creek. With all the tubing and the silting and all the stuff above, all we're going to need is another El Nino situation to break through that 2 feet of unconsolidated creek gravel and spread the petroleum plume, which is the size of a football field in diameter and upwards of 20 foot thick, all the way to the Pacific Ocean. Now, if it was anywhere else, I would say don't touch it and pray. But the bottom line is that there's only 2 feet between the creek and the oil. One El Nino. So thank you very much again for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Mm-hmm. Mr. Briggs, anything about that oil spill situation that the board should be considering?
Well, that's a site where we are providing our oversight, and it's one of those situations where it is a subject to risk assessment in terms of is it going to do more harm than good as far as what might happen in the future. In other words, is it going to be safe enough to allow some of that soil contamination or everything that remains there to stay in place? And the reason you'd say, well, why on earth would you do that? Fish and Game has an interest in maintaining the existing configuration habitat of the creek. The reason Mr. Diaz mentioned talking to Rich Chandler of our staff about Napomo Creek is because Rich, who's in the back of the room there, is our staff person responsible for that spill and has been working with the other agencies, Fish and Game notably, I guess, to try to figure out what's the best bet for that site. So it is a judgment call. There's another item in our agenda here that has to do with another creek crossing that's similar, where there's residual in place. And again, Fish and Game is interested in letting it stay because of the damage that would ensue with the creek if you pulled it out. But as Mr. Bishop points out, if it is not safe from future scouring events, then that's probably not a good idea. So that's where we are with that.
Not a good idea to leave it there?
Right.
Yeah. But Fish and Game knows about this particular spill. And
yeah, Rich, do you have anything to add to that, Rich?
Yeah, hi, I'm Rich Chandler. Thanks. Fish and Game is aware of it, and we've been consulting with them on this. And as you mentioned, the other situation where we have oil contamination in a creek bank, and we're trying to work with them to figure out which is the better, to leave it in place or to take it out?
How long does that take?
How long does it take to make the decision?
Yeah.
In this case, it's taken, I'd say, about 5 months, and we haven't made a decision yet.
My only concern would be, if the decision is going to be that something should be done about it, then that should take place sooner than later.
I agree. It should be expedited.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I mean, you know, if the assessment is we're better off leaving it in place, then it doesn't matter when the decision gets made. But, you know, it's kind of like a chicken and an egg situation in a sense. So I would encourage you to try to get Fish and Game to make the determination sooner. Do we have funds available to help with that? Is that a cleanup?
We won't be using our funds. It'll be ConocoPhillips. They're the responsible party.
Okay.
And just for perspective, I certainly agree with you. If it's going to be cleaned up, sooner is better. We have to figure out timing-wise as far as winter goes. But do you have an idea of how long that those contaminants have been there?
I don't, because the contaminants are the result of a former Unocal pipeline that probably leaked decades ago. The contamination was subsequently detected a few years ago. ConocoPhillips has inherited the responsibility from that, from their taking over Unocal operations.
Okay. So then we've known about it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's been under investigation. They've been out there. It hasn't just been sitting there. They've had their consultants out. We have groundwater monitoring wells. We're doing periodic inspections of the creek, so it's not as though it's
right.
Nothing's happening.
Okay. Well, if there's a responsible party that we know of and that has funds that can take care of this, then let's get the decision made as soon as possible.
Agreed.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. I don't have any more speaker cards, so, okay. Does anyone else wish to address the board? Mr. Payne, I didn't even recognize you with your hat on. Do you know that?
Oh, it's worse than my hat on.
All right, come on up. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. One of the things that been concerning me is the elder abuse that's been taking place in the village of Los Osos and other places around. The county ran a program hosted by White. What was her first name? I can't remember. Anyway, the fact is that a lot of old people are being taken advantage of, and a lot of them are 20 to 15 to 20 years older than me, veterans of World War II, fought for our freedom. And there's one little group going around with a traveling notary and an accountant and a real estate agent and somebody that sells estates stuff, giving a commission to be told about the places that are being sold, et cetera, et cetera.
Mr. Payne, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Does this have to do with water quality?
Well, in a roundabout way, yes. Basically, what we're looking at is a giant conspiracy. Some of your staff and some of the county staff's been in on it for 20 years, and this is fixing to tax a lot of World War II veterans right out of their home. They got, as some people say, tons of equity, so, you know, they're not going to starve. The thing is that tons of equity is their equity, and they paid taxes for years to have it. So that's elder abuse, is forcing them out of the home that they bought to retire in, and now they will either have to have a reverse mortgage or sell their home and move to a less desirable location. So in a way, that's elder abuse by a bunch of professional politicians and appointed state agencies, et cetera, forcing a tax bill on them for something that's going to ruin the ecology and it isn't needed. Thank you.
And the something is the treatment, wastewater treatment facility.
Can I talk about the wastewater treatment facility?
No, No, I'm just trying to tie that together for you because you haven't really told us what this is related to other than some tax.
Since you mentioned the wastewater treatment facility, it sounds like you had a pretty good handle on what I was talking about.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Does any other member of the public wish to address the board on any issue not on the agenda? Okay. Thank you for those comments. Let's move on.